too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time.
Test.
Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see.
Sucker, look at you. You out, sucker.
Epic start to Golflandia 136. It's Heart of Courage. What movie's that from? Invincible, I guess. I changed up the beginning of the podcast intro. I had those ads on there. You may want them back. That's crushed. I just like to change things up somewhat. Changing up the logo too. But I saw that Muhammad Ali, obviously that was him. That was both his famous quote, hands can't hit what the eyes can't see. And then him in Africa before he fought George Foreman. It was just I posted it on Twitter on the weekend. It was just such an epic piece of historical film work, and he was such a beyond interstellar athlete and human being, and being from Kentucky, Louisville, I thought it was maybe appropriate to go in the beginning. Plus that song is just so amazing. It's how I felt this week. Those were my emotions, and I'm going to talk about those things. Golflandia 136. Just like when Perry said something that bothered me today. Oh, yeah, he put my... I do quotes, not quotes. I do bullets as double colon because stylistically it just looks better to me. So all you dash people or numbered people, who that's how you sort lists, that's fine. Be unoriginal. So Perry was making fun of my double colon bullet process. And I said it bothered me. Because Dr. Lamb told me I should express my feelings. Golflandia 136. Now on Stitcher, Spotify, Casts, iTunes. It's always been on there. Why do I say it? I feel like I can't do this podcast without saying that. Of course it's on there. It's an RSS feed. The internet now is on electricity. Yeah, it is. Follow me at Wiley77 on Twitter, at Golflandia, also on Twitter, the platform on the internet, or my burner account, at Chubbs_Peterson12. The DK contest. Let me talk to you about DraftKings, because they've decided to title sponsor this show. Well, they always did, kind of, until my former host made me do reads for other platforms, not DraftKings. And so they were frozen out until the end of my deal. Not anymore, though. DraftKings is here. So here's how this process works in the media business or the advertising space. They'll give you a read, right? They'll work with a third party. They'll give you a read. A lot of them are perfunctory, you know, just very deliberate, and you know people are reading ads. And I told Ethan and DraftKings that, do I have liberty to say what I want? Yes, of course. Because the read that they typically give you, it's not something I would say. For instance, this week, DraftKings, The grueling basketball regular season is beginning to wind down. If I had said that, you know instantly I'm full of shit. I don't like basketball at all. So, but I will say this, but the basketball regular season is beginning to wind down, ad read that I'm supposed to do. In DraftKings, if you're not on there, you can enter code GOLFLANDIA now and have a free shot at over $30,000 in prizes with your first deposit for the big basketball contest every night throughout the season. That's probably one of the dumbest things I've ever said personally because I just read it wrong. But of course there's contests every night. This first read's going stellar. But anyway, the Golflandia code will work universally on DraftKings. So you get free shots at money. Basketball is their push right now. Obviously, this is the first $1 million week. $1 million week giveaway for first prize that I'm going to win anyway. I wonder if that's a conflict. For golf, the Players' Championship, we need to fill that. So there you go. I love DraftKings. In addition to DraftKings, we've got the weekly contest, the Listener League. Two words I hate. 400 people, $5, single man, single entry, man or woman, guaranteed money, no rake. No rake, meaning nothing is taken away for the administration of the contest to DraftKings. It's rake-free. Except for the hardos, as I said on Twitter, they pay triple. Now, it was double, now it's triple. So the app, the link to that, the proper app link is in my Twitter's feeds. There goes the brain. What am I about? What? 7 minutes in? Go to my Twitter feed, jump into the contest. You can't jump into my Twitter feed, but get into the contest. 400 people. It fills pretty quickly. And we go from there. So Golflandia code is Golflandia for DraftKings. And then enter the contest if you have not already. This week, the Players' Championship, no Euro. Coronavirus is killing the European Tour. As Nelson Adcock asked me in the question segment, when's Euro Tour coming back? I'm afraid it'll never come back because maybe the PGL will just buy it. But we've got our DraftKings winner from last week. That's part of the show, man, that if you win the DraftKings contest, the weekly one, you get to have a segment on this show. We've got Ryan, no Euro Tour talk, boo. But we've got enough with the Players' Championship this week. The fifth major. Here's the Florida swing keywords. Bear trap, Arnold Palmer's grandson, fifth major. I was able to play golf this week, and because my wife, with her severed hand from a skating incident, the hand that was broken off her arm, that disallowed me going to the DFS Open. The cast came off, and so she's able to do more, and so I decided to take a nice day weather and go golfing. Now, back to the hand. It looks like Chubb Peterson's wooden hand from Happy Gilmore, and that's not a lie. I was concerned initially that the doctors just said, we can't fix it, let's make it out of wood, maybe they won't notice. So, I went and shot, I said my over-under golfing will be 84.5. I shot 85. I said, if anyone guesses my score exactly, they'll get old school Golflandia swag. Three people won. So you're going to get that swag. Now, it may be in August, but you're going to get it. One of them was Greg Les Inc. Super brain genius. I don't know. I give him a lot of hell, but that guy's pretty smart. And that was in 85 with a few liberties. Let me just put it that way. A couple of 1-2 Justin Rose-a-roos, if you know what I mean. By the way, Justin Rose, that shot that said it was just oscillating when he double-hit it, look at the tape. The ball, ever so slightly, moves forward. To me, double-hit. It didn't oscillate back into position. It moved forward. Not Patrick Reed's burner account, was very upset that Justin Rose was not penalized for this. He has a burner account called Use Golf Facts. We are 101% sure it's Patrick Reed because it's an entire Twitter account dedicated to defending Patrick Reed on specific issues that only he would know. Don't get blocked by that because it's great. Also, DQ'd this week, Eddie Pepperell in Qatar. I'm sure that was not well received by Qatar because, you know, getting a guy like Eddie Pepperell for that tournament, especially with coronavirus 2020 going around, they need guys like that to move the meter, bring in fans, what have you. He was DQ'd for a wrong scorecard. I said, happened to Grillo too, this week at the API. Now, I don't know the circumstances specifically as to why they got disqualified, but my point on Twitter was that it is impossible. You can cheat in a number of different ways on the tour, clearly. You're going to get caught, likely, by the cameras. But it is impossible, in my opinion, to be able to cheat on a scorecard in 2020. With Shot Tracker, with the scores, with us watching it, with what the PGA Tour already knows, you can sign for a bad scorecard, and it was explained to me on a phone call by players how the process works. That if you they have literally a yellow box that you stand in. You can correct your score for hours inside that box to get it right. But once you step outside that yellow box, which I think Grillo did, you're done. If you sign for a bad scorecard, you're finished. It is all on you. I don't think anyone is intentionally going to try to get away with a faulty scorecard. There's just too much knowledge about it. Maybe in 1913, yes, because you could do anything you want on the golf course and no one would know, except your playing partner potentially, but then you could collude. So in this, if it's impossible to cheat with a faulty scorecard, and disqualification is such a heavy penalty, when the double hit by Rose, in my opinion, wasn't penalized, I just don't think it's a fair balance. I mean, Eddie flew there, he spent money, you know, fans want to see him, he had to go back home. I just think that's a problem. I just don't think it should be that deep, that they should spend 24 hours trying to make sure your scorecard was accurate. Maybe if you tee off the next day with an incorrect scorecard, maybe that's the disqualifying level it gets to. But in between that timeline, let's figure out how to get the scorecard correct, because I don't believe anyone's going in there saying, maybe I can get away with, I got a one on a par five. That's called a hole in one. Shackelford posted a video of Jay Monahan this morning on CNBC. Obviously, the tour deal has gotten, it was the worst kept secret. It's now out in the open. They're making a ton of money off the networks, a ton of concessions by the networks, a ton of cost cutting by the networks to afford this deal. ESPN Plus now gets the PGA Tour app. And so on this morning on CNBC, which you'd want to be a back-slapping congrats-type interview, but not Monday morning now when the global markets are all crashing, the Dow is down a zillion points, and we've got coronavirus. These hosts were just not in the mood for Jay Monahan talking about the PGA Tour's enrichment at all. The hosts were nervous. They were strange. They were attacking him. They were asking him what kind of insurance they have as a tour. One lady said, you know, in response to Jay saying, listen, there's tons of acreage on a golf course so people can spread out and maybe not spread this virus. And she countered him on that because she'd been to a tournament before. It was rough. You know, I don't think Jay was very pleased with how that went. But what I liked about it was that he turned it around at the end and he said, listen, can we bring this back to center and just say that this is a good thing for the future of the golf tour? And can I leave now? And they said, yeah, man, thanks for coming. That was watch it on my Twitter feed. It was rough. But there was, overall, in my opinion, I do believe that the trajectory of the tour and Jay and the PGA Tour itself got a massive deal. But I do believe that the trajectory of the tour is going in the right direction. Obviously, nothing is perfect yet. Obviously, there's a lot of gripes by fans. Production, you know, they're trying new things at the Players' Championship this week with having cameras on every player. We'll see how that works. But they're at least listening. There will be an app update. They're more understanding of the type of fan that's watching the live coverage now. D. Johnson Swag Bill said, well, what about the gap in coverage between 2:30 and 3? Why in 20 years haven't they figured that out? Well, I'm speculating here, but I think it's accurate in that I don't think they'd let a 20-year issue just continue to go on without fixing it, knowing it's such a huge issue. I think that part of the app deal now, and that why you don't get live coverage right away, is these apps that pay a fortune for rights, now ESPN Plus, they have to have the users, they have to have the clicks in order to make it financially feasible. They, in addition to probably transition time in 30 minutes to network from NBC to CBS, for instance, the 2:30 to 3 window, where they've got to change out sets or what have you, or get Nick Faldo there. I think that the app potentially has some ability to gain more users, clicks, ads in that space where, you know, it's primetime golf, potentially. So there is a reason financially that there's that 30-minute window between 2:30 and 3 that there's no live coverage on television. But overall, I think that it's going in the right direction. We'll see if these networks can make it work. The Rory put a stamp on the PGL, which should give the PGA some comfort in announcing this deal, that he ain't going. He's not going because he doesn't like the guaranteed setup that you have to pay in, 12 to 18 tournaments. He likes being an independent contractor with the PGA and designing his own schedule. The PGA, these are his words, gave him the platform to grow his own brand. He feels like he is a loyal person, which I believe he is. And he didn't like where the money was coming from on the PGL Tour. And that's that. I always thought, and I said this from the beginning, that I thought it was a leverage play by the players who got together and said, maybe in negotiations we can get what we want, because now we have somewhere else where we can say we're going to go. Not that they would ever intend to go there. And then Phil last week said, well, I wish Rory wouldn't have come out and say anything, because that's what I wanted to use for leverage. You kind of don't want to talk about using something for leverage when you're trying to use it for leverage. Now they don't have a ton, especially if these top players don't go, but that's that. I heard that Rose and Phil could have been behind the initial genesis of the PGL. They gave it the initial oxygen. It seemed so unusual how it just sprung out of vapor. I mean, a lot of people, the guy, you know, just sat around one night on a cocktail napkin and drew it out. a lot of people can do that. But then getting it to the point of it becoming a possibility, you had to have some assistance here. With the players talking about it, getting interested, you know, validating its feasibility, how did that get to that point? So that was just my speculation. I don't have any substantial proof of it. And by the way, the Rose, speaking of Justin Rose again, that ad, the one thing that is going to happen, the one thing that's going to happen in this process is because of the $700 million, what is it, a year over the course of this deal that these networks have to pony up for access rights to the tour, you're going to see more ads. I mean, it's going to make in different ways, I suppose, but they're going to have to pay for it somehow. So the ad that you see in repetition with Tom Watson and Justin Rose, the MasterCard ad, you're going to see that plenty more times. And that ad is tilting to me because the lady in it, if you know what it is, it's Rose and Watson driving around in a golf cart. They're in some European city. A lady doesn't have her credit card. And then this Glory Bogart of a woman, very presumptuous, comes in with her MasterCard and pays for the lady and her child's scone. Doesn't even ask if he needs help. She's just fumbling through her purse, which everyone woman does, looking for a MasterCard. And this woman comes in and in this MasterCard ad and just assumes that she's saving the day, steals the limelight in front of the impressionable and starving child and pays for the meal. Make it a better ad. We'll have Justin Rose, I am Morgan Stanley, Justin Rose, pay with his Morgan Stanley trillions. All right, before we get to the DraftKings, I have rambled for 22 minutes. Before we get to DraftKings, winner Mark and Ryan, let's go to questionsfromeveryone.com. And I had it pulled up, and now it's gone, and now I'm pulling it up again. I could just pause this, but I'm not going to because I never do. All right, here they are. Quickly, questions. Every week, I say, give me podcast questions, and you do. And I'm going to rapid fire through these. When does the Euro Tour resume? I answer that, Nelson. I don't know, but I'm concerned. They're going to cancel the Indian Open for sure. That's where this podcast got started with Valspar Hadwin, SSP at the Indian. I've been on a losing streak since then. One bet among, this is from Square Life, Rifo18. One bet among Webb, Scott, and Xander. Webb. How important is it this week? This is from D. Pernitsky, Dustin. How important is it this week, every shot by every player trial? If it bombs, do they kill it? Yes. If it's a huge success, does having that become the norm happen faster? I think if people get a flavor for it, like, for instance, the Masters app, we know we can only get that once a year, right? If the PGA launched something like the Masters app, which I believe they may be doing, 1 week, we'd want it every week. I'm not sure. The caddy cam didn't work for me. I think they have I think they've stomped that out. I'm not sure how this player cam will work. We'll see. Ranking the tour's hotheads. This is from Colonel PW121 at PW121. Ranking the tour's hotheads. I actually did this on the weekend thinking about it. Hatton, Rom, you know, getting a little better, but I'd say 1-2. Sergio, 3. Probably on tour. Does ketchup belong on scrambled eggs? Follow-up question. Ketchup belongs in the trash, period. Is this the week Morikawa miscuts? Greg Hackattack, G Hackattack. If it was between Morikawa and Scheffler, I'd say Morikawa misses the cut. I believe that Morikawa misses the cut. Yes. Does Tiger sit out until Augusta? Rob Palmier. At Rob Palmier. Does Tiger sit out until Augusta? I believe so. How scared should we be about the back? Very. Why is Bubba 200-1? Bagger V mode. Bubba is 200-1 at the Players' Championship because he doesn't perform well here. And he hasn't gained. That was a weird sound I just made. He hasn't gained strokes putting since he's only done it twice since 2010. Some people are just not horses for courses. This is not one of them. Lastly, there's another sound. Joko 1918. Is there a way, and will DraftKings consider a substitute player for a late withdrawal? I hope so. I don't know how it would technically work from a algorithm standpoint, a programming standpoint, because there are different prices. Would you have a different price player for each player that you've got on your team? I don't know. Maybe one that would just fit. I don't know how it would work, but I think it should be, yes, integrated into their platform because it destroys your whole 4 days, certainly. Lastly, Vince, Rod 0305V. When was your last trip to IHOP? Never. I've never been to IHOP. They had a beef with me. IHOP had a beef with me. They put me on their bandcake list for making fun of their International House of Burgers. Which, there you go. I need to go through the worst... I can't think it off the top of my head. The worst marketing concepts in the history of business in America. Let's talk to Mark. All right, winner last week with a huge score. Mark Wiskiewicz. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
From Hadley, Massachusetts. Let me ask you about Hadley.
Okay.
This is going to be part of my new segment. I did a bunch of research on Hadley, Massachusetts. When was it first settled?
Oh, man. I don't know. I have no idea.
1659. Who was the first settlement? Who was it led by?
These are stats or facts I don't know.
John Russell. What is the average 3-star hotel price in Hadley, Massachusetts for the final score?
110.
156.
Oh, wow. Undervaluing my hometown here.
0-3.
Yeah, not very good. Not very impressive.
What do you do in Hadley, Massachusetts that you know nothing about?
I actually work a little bit north of there for a nonprofit organization. I work as the assistant director of finance. I do some reporting and budgeting and kind of just oversee a bunch of the financial activities of the organization.
It is a shocker that someone in the financial industry from the Northeast won the Golflandia contest.
Yeah, it seems like a repeat theme here, common theme.
It's an 800 batting average for you guys.
I guess we
collusion.
Like, yeah, we like our numbers and predictions, I guess.
Did you enter any other contests with that massive team, or was it just Golflandia? Please don't tell me it was just Golflandia.
Unfortunately, it was just Golflandia. I used to play in Hatton everywhere, but then I had a mix and match of different guys, and only your contest was the one that had that good score, really good
score. I think Scotty DFS said, whilst the $5 Golflandia contest winning $400 is great and all, you could have won 55 grand or something.
Yeah, I did poke around and look at a few of the other entries that I was in, and no, like my score was up there pretty high in most of the other entries, but I was low 400s on most of those, so not 458.
Whoops. Oh, it's all right.
They got to be on your show, so.
Exactly. This week, have you given any thought to this Pete Dye course?
I mean, I think I'm on Bryson. I think just the way he's been playing, Bryson, M, Morikawa, I think my favorite three. I'm loving the way they're striking the ball, and I think they all got a bright future here.
any, I mean, they're very chalky. I think everyone's going to be on Bryson, and that, you know how that stuff goes.
No, I agree. And I mean, I also think Rory, I mean, no brainer there, is going to probably be top five, but I'm not going up there at 6 or 7 to 1 and not really paying that price in DK. So
is there anyone popular that you believe is going to not make the cut?
Oh, yes, but I don't know who. I don't know. I would expect DJ to struggle some more. Brooks, I mean, I know he hasn't played well in months and he's got his knee issues, but I bet you Brooks misses it in a little bit. That's kind of a bold guess, I would say.
Yeah, but yeah, and then people get enamored, as I was saying with Ryan here a second ago. People get enamored with the price, like finding a 25-1 DJ or 41-1 Brooks or 100-1 Day.
Yeah.
It's so attractive. You just have this, you begin this confirmation bias to justify it in your head that they're going to win. But the reality, you know, of course they're super talented, but right now, Brooks is not good.
No, he has not been good. So, I mean, yeah, I think I would fade him, and I haven't liked what DJ's done. So I'd fade the two of those bombers.
But then you have 1,100 missed cuts in a row, Siwoo Kim coming in and winning.
Yeah, I don't see that happening this year.
Okay. What else we got, man? Any other big player down low that you're looking at, or
sneaky suspicion? Paul Casey, I know that's not too far down, but just his ball striking so good. I don't know. I haven't looked into it too much, to be honest, at this point.
Do you know what Paul Casey did here last year?
I don't recall.
+8.
Okay.
That's what Ryan said too. I gave him the same answer because yeah, he also likes Paul Casey. But hey, don't let me talk you out of it because he won the Valspar the next week. So golf's weird.
Golf is very weird.
And hey, you had 2 times the score I did on DraftKings. So what the fuck am I talking about?
Hey, you got to get lucky once in a while, I guess.
That's right. That's what you do in Hadley, Massachusetts. Just like John Russell and Nathaniel Dickinson.
I got to study up on my Hadley history. Yep.
Yes. Let me tell you about this. It was settlers who were primarily a discontented group of families from the Puritan colonies. So you had a bunch of pissed off people from Puritan colonies in Hartford, Connecticut,
okay,
that came and formed Hadley. Do you find that Hadley is made up of generations of disgruntled people?
I hope not. We're only a town of about 5,000 people.
You're right.
Yeah. I do know the population.
That's crazy. It's a town of 5,000 people.
Yeah, we got UMass right next to us, though. So we got a big university. So it's been growing the last 10, 15 years here.
John Calipari.
Yeah, right. Andy. Yep.
All right, man. It was great talking to you, Mark.
Great talking to you, too. Thanks.
I'm so glad I got your last name right, I think.
You got it. Yep.
All right, pal. Thanks so much. Cash take you on the national joint. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all. All right, Ryan. It's Diabolical Pete Dye week at the Players Championship. What's up, man?
All good. Excited to see another week of the Florida Swing, where we've seen a different style of golf and a -5 winning score, -4. It's been fun.
I love it. I love it because I love carnage golf. I think you're getting 3 in a row with some of the toughest closing holes in golf. Last week, Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, that 18 is, I mean, that played like a U.S. Open. The rough is just gnarly.
Yeah, I mean, you have the wind and the water, of course. But yeah, you grow up the rough a little bit down here. And those greens, I mean, they're like concrete. You can't hold them. And they're running at like a 14. Yeah, you're just not going to score on courses like that.
Did you take anything away from the field?
No, you know, I think there's a lot of guys playing really well right now. And they seem to have kept form for a while. You know, I think we often see guys who play well early in the season, be it in Hawaii, on the West Coast, they come down to Florida and they don't have it. But that doesn't seem to be the case. We've been seeing these guys now play well. You know, Bryson has held that form. Him has held that form. I would say Rory, but he's good everywhere. Max Homa, which was the big one, you know, he held that form. So I think the one thing that we do have to look at is Rory. And I mean, why is he not winning? He is a by far the best player on the planet, has been for a while, probably over a year now. He's putting himself in a position every single week, and it's just a matter of, you know, not making the mistakes and making a few more putts. But won't be surprised to see him contend again this week.
I think it's exactly what you just said, making a few more putts. I think confidence comes from your putter backwards and him knowing, unlike Leishman, who made the most putts within 10 feet, mm-hmm. which you have to do to win on tour. That's just what you have to do. I would put Rory in the average category for making those putts. And I think on Sunday, on a course like that, it just becomes difficult, especially if he thinks he has to press some.
Yep.
I mean, he could easily win this week, and he probably will. But this course and this field is much different. This is a – by the way, M, if you're talking about players, he gets better every week. He is now a very reliable, very good Bermuda putter.
Mm-hmm.
Did he lead last week around the green? I think he was either Scheffler or him, but he was up there. He was incredible out of the bunkers.
Yeah, I think he gained like 5.5 shots around the green, which again, you know, not sustainable necessarily. Although he gained about 4 the week before at Honda.
It's not a fluke. Yeah, I mean, you see him play out.
Yeah, he's got a good short game. The putter still worries me a bit. I still think that's his weakness, but his ball striking is so good. He obviously does not get fazed. I think when he finally got that win at Honda, it took a lot of pressure off of himself. You know, back to Rory for a second. I agree with what you said. I think he was pressing. He knew that there were not many birdies out there, and I think he knew that he had to get off to a fast start, because he did not want to play catch up on the back nine. And he did the opposite, right? He shot himself out of it by making 7 on the reachable par 5, the 6th hole. And after that, he was pressing and he could not hit a fairway and he could not make a putt.
I will say this, and this could be just eyeball observation, and someone could probably debunk this based on statistics. I think that Rory is a top world elite player out of the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that out of the rough around the green is iffy sometimes. Pitching and chipping. And I think, he's still fantastic. And then, of course, putting is always a question mark for him. It's not that he's going to mm-hmm. bend on 5 putt from 3 feet, but just making those critical putts. Do you do this, by the way, when you're backing a guy and you're completely in the throes of a sweat on the back nine, and you know they have to make an 8 or 10 footer to save par or birdie? Do you mute the TV?
No, I usually stand close to it.
Okay, here's what I do now. Mm-hmm. Because I can't, because you could tell by the body language, you know, 4 feet off the putter,
yeah,
the putter's not going to make it. I can't stand that. I also can't stand the crowd reaction, and I can't stand the broadcasters. So I cover it up mm-hmm. with my hand.
Oh, you're sweating the hole?
I'm just sweating the hole. I just want to see the ball drop in.
Yeah.
I cover the player, I put on mute, I cover the player up, and I just wait for the ball to drop in. Out of 100 times on players I follow, and this is not a joke, out of 100 times, how many times do you think that ball actually goes in?
3.
On 1.
Yeah.
I think it's gone in once. It never happens. I did it for Campayo. I did it for – it never works.
It's tough. You know, I mean, I think overall guys don't make a lot of those putts. So maybe, you know, we're a little bit skewed. But yeah, it does seem like
Leishman does.
If like you're not making those putts Sunday, kind of you don't have a chance. But yeah, you know, my thing about Rory is, you know, he's now finished, what, 3rd, 5th, 5th, 5th in his last 4 events. Last week, he gained over 10 strokes, strokes gained tee to green. Mexico, over 10 strokes, tee to green. At Riviera, 9 strokes, tee to green. So like, he's just doing everything so well that he's literally one or two putts away from winning every single week. I don't know how you hop off here, especially considering he just won here last year. So yeah, more Rory for me.
All right. So we go to Sawgrass now, which, as Mike says in his notes, Mike Miller, it's diabolical. I've got a ton of notes from previous years. Mm-hmm. But Pete Dye is known for what? He creates a course that becomes a thinking man's course, mm-hmm. and he puts emphasis and he rewards good shot selection and shot making. And double dogleg par fives, you know, a lot of wood bulkheads, long bunkers. Bunkers everywhere, first of all. But long bunkers between hazard and the fairway. Should you miss one of his greens, he's going to penalize you in sort of unique ways. And, of course, difficult closing holes. 17 and 18, number two and number one in terms of difficulty, mm-hmm. are no exception. What I saw an amazing video from Golf Digest, and I suggest everyone see it because it's so visually appealing as well. But Dye built this course. The PGA asked him to do it on 400 acres of swampland near Ponte Vedra, right? Or Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And so he built this course, and it's got a ton of mounds, which you don't really see much of on television, but he built those mounds for the crowds. He's got a trillion bunkers. But one of the things that the video talks about is that Dye expects you to play towards the hazards off the tee, mm-hmm. which sets up better approaches than if you were to take the safe route. So in that regard, and we can get to this in a second, but this becomes a really thinking man's course. Accurate off the tee. Length is not a concern here. I think, what did we count? Four holes, maybe? Players using driver, maybe five?
Yeah, going to depend on the wind, but if it's firm like it was, yeah, there will not be a lot of drivers hit out here.
But it's going to be someone who is good at target golf, keeps his wits about him, mm-hmm. knows you're going to miss a green, you're going to hit a fairway bunker, can play good wedge golf, can sand save, can scramble well, Webb Simpson. Obviously, you find luck, but that's the type of player I'm looking for. Experience, smart, keeps their wits about them. Doesn't John Rahm the 16th like last year? Mm-hmm. Doesn't Tommy Fleetwood the 17th? doesn't Ian Poulter the 18th?
Yeah, and I think, as I mentioned, you know, we've seen guys who have carried over form the last month or so. While this is a bit of an unpredictable event in terms of, you know, the types of players who can win, it's not really a get right spot. If you're coming in here not sharp in any part of your game, you're going to get exposed. So I'm definitely going to be looking at form over the last month or so, and I want to see guys who are gaining strokes in two, three, or four areas of their game. Putting, of course, is probably the one that I would weigh less, because, you know, anyone can make putts on any given week. But if there's been a guy, you know, who's consistently been bad with irons or who's struggling with the short game, this is not the place to find it.
Yeah, the course isn't going to give you much.
No.
So let's go to the players. Mm-hmm. Double entendre. that are playing this week. Let's go to Mike's notes first. Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bet, smartgolfbets.com for all your controversial needs. Did you get that?
That was good.
Okay. You saw the controversy with Mike, right?
Yes. No, that was... She got back at him too. That was great.
Yeah, it was great. He's just old school. He knows. Bad Mike. TPC Sawgrass Stadium Course, Ponte Vedra, Florida. He always gives you directions just in case you're going. 25 miles southeast of Jacksonville. A borderline sadistic Pete Dye, 1979 design. Par 72, 7,100 yards. Scottish style bunkers, total of 88. Mike counted. Waste area and 17 water hazards. 17 water hazards, Ryan.
I mean, there's only 18 holes, so yeah.
No two consecutive holes play the same direction, left and right. Dog legs, long hitting is an advantage, yet short drivers, Tim Clark, Fred Funk, KJ Choi. One, rough, not penal, at least not in March. Bermuda greens overseeded with rye, 2.5 inches. I must mean the rough. Fast, 12 to 13 stem. Greens and reg, par four scoring, scrambling, yes. Check the wind cast. I did. I don't expect it to be that windy. Don't blow up in the back nine. There it is. Last week, had some good play. Approach last week. Morikawa, Hatton, Damon, top five. Walker and Homa. That was top five in approach last week at the API coming into this week. Finau was second, but he missed the cut. But I should say that because he was second. He just could putt for shit.
Yep.
Shocker. Tee to green last week. Scheffler played really, really well. Tee to green incorporates around the green. Does it not?
It does.
And he led the field around the green. And I was banging on Scheffler off mic all day. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong. Morikawa did not play well around the greens. Scheffler did. I had it reversed for the guys who always call me out on reversing things. Top to 5 tee to green. Scheffler, Damon, Morikawa, M, Hatton, bonus Rory. You glean anything from last week coming into this week? You writing off anyone?
No, I mean, I think the first comment that I made, maybe it was Saturday night or so, but I said, I'm going to play Im and Morikawa as much as I can, anywhere I can. And I don't think there's any exception here. We'll start with Morikawa, but what he's been able to do ball striking. I mean, it's no fluke. It's been a year now. He hasn't missed a cut, but, he is one of the best ball strikers we've seen in a very, very long time. M is obviously not far behind, and now that he's won, but I think those two guys, I will play them everywhere. We already talked about Rory, so there's not much that we need to say there. But I think anyone really who made the cut and did anything well last week, they're in play this week. It was hard just to make the cut, especially if you were in the wrong weather wave, and there were a handful of those guys. So, I'm going to stick with kind of long-term kind of baseline performances, but again, guys who've been playing really well of late, especially who played well at Bay Hill and at Honda.
Anyone you're completely writing off? Popular plays.
So the obvious one is probably Hatton. You know,
he wrote himself off. Did you hear him?
Yeah. I mean, not surprisingly, but you know, I have to imagine he is going to have some kind of letdown. And on a course like this, you know, any sort of letdown is probably a miscut. So I think he would be one. I think the one that I'm struggling with who's going to be chalk is going to be Bryson. You know, everything in my gut tells me that like, this is not the place for him. You know, I don't trust his short game. I don't trust his mental game. I don't think he's someone who can handle the adversity very well. You know, he's played okay here. Last 2 years, nothing in the top 20, I don't think, but both of those performances were bolstered by some really good putting. So if that doesn't happen, I think you could see Bryson have an early exit. I'm very interested to see how the young guys do. I think Morikawa, obviously, I will play. I'm a little more worried about, you know, Hovland and Wolf and Scheffler and those guys. I just don't think they are quite as dialed in as Hovland is. But I mean, beyond that, like, I think this is a week where balance is going to be the way to go. Like, I'm going to play as much Rory as possible, but you know the two guys who are going to pop everywhere this week, and that's going to be Kuchar and Webb Simpson. And you put them on a course like this where they've both won, where their skill sets are very, very important. Like, I'll play those two guys over pretty much anyone else in their respective price ranges.
Bryson DeChambeau, his deficiency last year was around the green. Mm-hmm. Which I think he's getting better. Stats may not back that up, but two big instances where his bunker play around the green game got him in trouble. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's three. I just can't remember the course. I think it was overseas this year. Last year at the Players, Mm-hmm. And then last year at the Genesis or Gemini. Remember Riviera?
Yeah.
When he hacked apart a bunker lip.
Mm-hmm.
There's another course too. This year recently duffed one. Anyway, that's the biggest one, right? Bryson is going to be the favorite to win this week, largely because of his fist pumping top five last week. And coming into, it seems like the perfect type of course for him. It seems.
Yeah.
Then there's Jason Day, right? And everyone is ambitious for Jason Day, not because they believe that he actually is going to win, but because they got him in triple digits. And once you get that.
Do we believe that he's even going to play?
Right. But once you get triple digits Jason Day, then you start confirmation biasing your selection, thinking that he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with everyone. If you get a good price in anyone, I got Jimmy Walker at 250. He's going to win. Why? Because I got him at 250. Jimmy Walker is not going to win.
I see that all the time. Yeah, it's funny. Like you see a guy saying, you know, please put your picks here of who's going to win. And they just list their bets.
They list their bets. Okay. And they also say Rory won't win because they can't afford him at 7.5 to 1.
Yes, Rory can't win, so I'm fading him. Okay.
Yes, fading Rory.
Nice. He'll finish third or second. Nice.
But then people like DJ this week, which is an insane price for Dustin Johnson. And his record here, I mean, he's had some of the best golf. He's the only person to have under 70, four rounds under 70 last year here in the 60s. In the 60s means under 70. Matt, I'm talking to myself. But, you know, we've seen a lot of Dustin Johnson. He is not the same Dustin Johnson as he was last year. He wasn't the same overseas. He wasn't the same at the WGC. He wasn't the same at the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Courses that we expect him to be Dustin Johnson on. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, carrying form, guys who are striking it well, we know those names. Guys who've had some seasoning in Florida already. Fleetwood even.
Yep.
I think he wanted to take the weekend off to get some rest. He has the, you know, the top five course history here at the Players are? Guess.
I mean, I know Fleetwood's had back-to-back top tens here, so.
Fleetwood, Matsuyama, Rory, Scott, Jason Day.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you have a model, Ryan?
Yes, I do. And it's pretty interesting this week. So, it didn't really matter how I ran the model. I ran this model. I sorted it for Pete Dye. I sorted it for courses under 7,200 yards. Rory M is atop the model, shockingly enough. So the top 10 in my model, no surprises, but it does include Rory and DJ, Rom, Cantlay, Matsuyama, and Hovland. There are two names, which sound very familiar to my listeners out there. Answer and Corey Connors popped up very, very highly in this model. Paul Casey was the other one who was in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Rory and DJ, Rom, and no surprise there. Answer, Connors, Cantlay, Matsuyama, Hovland, Casey is my 10.
Okay, me. Model. Heavily on scrambling, heavily on sand. This is, by the way, from Chris Durrell, Jager Bombs. Jager underscore bombs and one number between 0 and 9, which I forget. Go with 8. I'm thinking it's 8, but it could be 9. Webb, here's the stats. Approach heavy, driving accuracy heavy, scrambling sand saves around the green. I did procs, Ryan, because this it's a lot of three woods off the tee, about 270s off the tee, leaving about 150 to 175 in on some holes, plus the par three. I don't know if that stat's going to work or not. I just sort of liked it. Webb, Hadwin, Valspar winning Hadwin. Why do I love Hadwin so much? Why do we love Hadwin so much?
I mean, you might love him because he's Canadian and he's a good putter. I'm not sure why else.
He's number 2 in sand saves this year. Mm. Hasn't played a lot. But he's an accurate driver, good iron player, good wedge player, good bunker player, phenomenal putter. He should win everything. JT Knox, Rory, Xander, Matsuyama.
Not for me, but I could see it.
What? This is my model top 10. Webb, Hadwin, JT Knox. You can't interrupt the model top 10. Webb, Hadwin, JT Knox, Rory, X, Matsuyama, Hatton, Rom, M. That is what science spit out.
Rory's a little low.
You think Rory's a little low?
I can't imagine any model not just having Rory with a giant gap above anybody else. But yeah, I mean, this course can definitely neutralize. I will say Webb not being in my top 10 was surprising. That will probably be a manual adjustment.
Eyeballs model. Webb, Bryson, Kuchar, Imrom, Rory.
Yeah, pretty similar. Yeah, pretty similar. I mean, I would probably have Rory, Webb, Im, Morikawa. I don't even know who number five would be. Rom, I guess. But yeah.
DK pricing, you can find some bargains.
Oh, yes.
I know the ones that you like. I'm sure everyone knows the ones that they like. Kuchar's in the 7,000s. Snedeker, 7.2. Damon is going to be extremely popular coming off his ball striking last week and generally does well at this course. I think he was 12th last year. By the way, Bryson was a top 20 last year. So people are going to correct you on that.
Was he exactly 20th?
He was exactly 20th. Johnny Vegas. He's played well in the Florida swing. You remember the 200-foot putt on 17 last year. He almost won, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, Vegas is – he's kind of the guy that, you know, he shows up when you least expect it. So – it could definitely happen.
Who else do you see?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned – so for chalk, right? I mean, you mentioned Joel Damon, obviously, at that same price.
Morikawa, Max Homa. Chalk.
Yeah, I mean, Max Homa is going to be chalk. Morikawa, M, Berger also, low sevens. I think he'll be popular. Yeah, I think there's a lot of viable plays. You know, a couple guys that I think are going to be a little bit under the radar. Stenson, who burned everybody last week at, what, 8,800, is now $1,000 cheaper.
Keep that filthy name out of your mouth.
Fleetwood, right? Fleetwood just burned everybody, you know. Like he's still $9,000. Like, I mean, I'll happily go back there. Let's see who else.
Reed here. Is 8,500.
Yep. I think that's a good one. Who else? Westwood. Didn't Westwood withdraw? He's not playing this week. He's still listed, but I'm pretty sure he's out. Answer, who I mentioned, I like a lot. Fitzpatrick, you know, playing really well.
Yes.
He historically hasn't been great here, which is a little bit surprising. I feel like it should fit his game well. So interested to see if he can kind of snap out of that. And then the only other name that I saw that was pretty interesting, I already mentioned him earlier, but was Corey Connors. You know, Connors was a guy who everyone was clamoring to play for 8,200, I think, at Honda. And then a couple bad weeks, and now he's in the sixes. I think this is a great course for Corey Connors. So I'll be back on him.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, I don't know what it is about him. I guess he has to use that 3-wood a lot.
The 7-wood.
Remember the one? Which one did he pull into?
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah, that was the 3-wood at the Scandinavian Masters.
No, better. It was in the tournament in England. The classic.
The British Lee Masters. Westwood,
no, the Lee Westwood hosted tournament.
Oh, what is it? The BMW.
Yeah, but what's the course?
Oh, Wentworth.
Wentworth, right. Excuse me. Remember he, was it the 7-wood or the 3-wood?
I think that was the 3-wood, yeah. That was bad.
On the approach, he duck hooked it twice at OB from the fairway. That thing gets a little whippy.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, look, he's still a very, very good iron player.
I love Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he's a very good iron player, very good putter. You know, I was talking to Rappaport earlier, and he mentioned that a lot of it with Fitz is probably mental. Not that he, you know, has any mental issues. He's just – he gets very mad at himself when he misses a shot or a putt. But like we've seen that sort of attitude work for now guys like Hatton and guys like Rahm. So maybe he can start to channel it the right way, because he's very talented. You know, he's now spent 4 or 5 years inside the top 50 in the world, which is not easy to do playing the schedule that he plays, because those events are not worth a lot of points. So
no Euro Tour. If there's no Indian Open, it may not be for 7 weeks. That's a problem.
I mean, there's no Indian Open. It's not happening. Guys are not going to go there. I mean,
no,
I don't think so. I mean, like, you look at where these sort of diseases start, and it's like China, Hong Kong, or it's India. Like, these are the hotbeds, and I just don't see anyone going there. I mean, I think I saw a couple hours ago, all the major sports leagues have now outlawed the media members from being in the locker rooms. Like, these guys are not going to India.
That's where it all began, Ryan.
The battleship.
The battleship, and Adam had one at the Valspar.
Yeah, luckily the Masters is only a few weeks away, so, you know, and we have good content coming up.
All right, man. Thanks for playing.
Talk to you soon. Go Rory.
Have a good All right, week. PGA Tour deal complete, on a good trajectory. Bad timing for announcement of a deal. Bad timing for anything new. But interested to see the new app, the player perspective cameras, all the other things they have going on. I think Rory squashed the PGL. I think Phil identified that it was more so a leverage play than anything. Plus, as I always said, the advantage of the PGA amongst everything else, as you know, in addition to being the tour that creates stardom, as Rory eloquently said on the broadcast, their asset is, and their protectable space is, they have a library of moments and history attached to each tournament that we all tune in for and remember. And this thought was solidified in an interview I was listening to on Howard Stern. And the guest said that Martin Scorsese said, if you remember a plot of a movie, if you remember the entire plot of a movie, it probably wasn't a good movie. Good movies are defined by moments. And he was speaking in regard to Pesci and De Niro and all of the moments that they have created in cinema together. You remember all those moments. And the same thing that's what makes the tour so fantastic is that, yes, it's about star talent currently, but it's also a complete breathing, living history of moments. And if you had some time, you could probably write down 100 of your own. And those will continue forever, and they cannot be replicated. Yes, something else can begin, a new tour can start, but it's starting from ground zero, which was when? The late 1800s for this tour, or for golf? This tour specifically, the middle of the 20th century? That's a long time. That's a lot of stars. That's a lot of athletes. That's a lot of moments. That's a lot of history. Until 1:30 seconds.